Let's turn into our song sheets to 265, We Have an Anchor, and let's stand. Thank you for everyone who's able to make it to church tonight and that we can be here to worship you. And I thank you for the protection you've given us in this pandemic, Lord, and I pray that you'll continue to have your hand over us. And I pray for the service to go well and for Pastor to as he gives the message. And I pray for everyone in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Well, it's good to see each of you here tonight. Glad that you're able to make it out. And I hear that our cricket is here in the building again tonight. We had him this morning as well. He wanted to join us, join our singing, I guess, but he's singing at the wrong time. But anyway, good to see you here tonight. And in a few moments, we'll have some time for testimony, so be thinking about that. What has the Lord done? And any answers to prayer that you'd like to share? So encourage you about that. Announcements here. We'll be having our prayer meetings on Zoom here this week on Tuesdays, so just encourage you to come out to that, so to speak. Those will be at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Don't be afraid to try it out. We're keeping it simple, just praying, just a few prayer requests and prayer, not drawing it out that long. And so our most popular time has been the a.m., actually, so far. But we're still keeping that evening time open, so just encourage you, join us there on Tuesdays. On Wednesday, we're continuing to use that time for some outreach around the church. And so we've been doing that, passing out the packages that we made up with the Gospel of John and the tract. And so we're going to do that again this Wednesday night at 7. So we'll be meeting here and encourage you to consider that as well. We are going to try to do a cleaning schedule instead of a sign-up for the church cleaning. We'll see how that works, but just going to try to make a schedule people to clean for the fall, cleaning the church, and we have done that as a sign up. I think, you know, if we could have 8 different teams or families set up, that would really spread it out, and you know, each family or team would only have to clean once every 2 months, which to me doesn't sound like too much. And I think, you know, looking at who we have in our church, we could do that. And so, so as I mentioned this morning, this is your warning. I may be asking you to be on that schedule to make that for the church cleaning. So we're going to try that and see if we can kind of spread things out and cover things more consistently. Well, did you look at the church roof? Were you blinded at the sight of that roof? It was painted this week, and actually one man did it all, and he was not a young man. But Mike Riley is a man who has been painting roofs for a long time, I think probably close to 60 years or more, and he did that this week, and the elder board had approved that project. And so hopefully that makes our roof last a little bit longer. It's supposed to be good for 7 to 10 years, he said, the painting that he uses. So that was done this week. And then Sunday school adjustments are starting next Sunday. We're going to go ahead and start the promotion this next Sunday. You know, we talked about delaying that before, but just decided to keep that on the first Sunday of September. That'll help with the curriculum as the new curriculum is started that new quarter, and so we're just going to start the promotion then. And we've also made a little change there. The classes, the main change is the junior class is now grades 1 through 6, and that's taught by Julie Ray. And so we're just looking at the young people that we have and, you know, trying to fit what we have. But again, the toddler class, this is taught by Debbie Lewis. That's for ages 2 to 3. And also below that age, if there's younger kids that come, they can be in that class during Sunday school. They'd just be good if there was a parent that would come with them, mother, to be with them, help them learn to be in the class. And then the beginner class is ages 4 and 5. That's taught by Mrs. Marlene Ray. The junior class, again, that'll be grades 1 to 6. That's taught by Mrs. Julie Ray. And then the teen class is grades 7 through 12, and that's taught by Mr. Ron Margraf. So that setup, that'll begin next Sunday, September 6th. We have a few students that are being promoted. They will go into their new class next Sunday. So we'll plan that. We are planning another Friday night fellowship in September, for September the 25th. At 6 to 9, and it'll be outside, planning to eat outside, and we hope to be able to have a hayride that night, as well as a bonfire, and some chili and hot dogs. And for our dessert, you know, we got enough funnel cakes the last time. Probably need to wait another year before we do funnel cakes again. So we decided we're going to have pie. And so apple pie, berry pie, whatever kind of pie you want to make, I'm sure it'll be good. So please bring some, and bring what you can. The church will provide drinks and paper goods, and this is for all ages. This is a youth group and everybody that is not in the youth group anymore. And so all families, ages, September, Friday evening fellowship, 6 to 9 p.m. Our birthdays and anniversaries coming up. The Gossmans have an anniversary this week, so don't forget about that. And that's coming up on the 3rd. So just a little reminder about that. All right. See here, I've been greeting those that are listening to us on the recording, and so we want to say hello to you again. Thank you for listening to this. You know, there's a lot of Christian stuff out there that you can listen to, preachers on the radio, even some good ones, and on the TV too. But the difference here is we know who you are, and those preachers on the radio, they don't know who you are. But we want to be your local church, And we want to know you and pray for you. And that's the difference here. I'm sure you can grow through listening to the preachers on the radio, hear the truth that they present as well. But we are a local assembly, and we want to minister to you and have this church be your church home, perhaps though even though you're not able to attend right now. And so that's our desire. And so thank you for joining us here tonight. Though it's not live, it'll be a later time. And we do want to thank those that came tonight. We have started an audiovisual task force here at the church, and we are looking at some things we can do to improve, perhaps with the goal of having a live option where people would be able to join us. We have people that aren't able to come out right now. We have people that are sick from time to time. We have people that travel from time to time. And we want to see if we can provide an option for them to even to join us live at the regular church time, even though they may not be able to come. And so I've asked a couple people in our congregation to be on that audiovisual task force. And we've had a first meeting tonight, and we got a lot of things to think about as to how that would take place and how we could get that done. But we are trying to think about it and to see what could be done towards that goal. Also, the ladies had a meeting tonight, the Women's Ministry Fellowship, and I'm not sure what they talked about, but appreciate them coming tonight to meet together and minister to our ladies here at the church. There's some other projects that were completed recently. Our church sign over at County Road 15 and State Route 314 was hit by a car or truck sometime, but it had been knocked over. I forget how long ago that was. It may be a year now. I don't know. But it's not been there for quite some time. And it's Mr. Reynard has been keeping it safe at his house. We still had it, but just figuring out how to do it. But Pastor Gossman was able to get a post put in there this week and get it more secured. And then as he was doing that, there was a man who was driving by and saw him working on that and actually ended up helping him. It was a man who used to attend here some in the past couple years, but he came and helped him out. And so we appreciate those that worked with that, Mr. Reynard saving it for us, and Pastor Gossman getting that back in with the post. And then again, Al Ray, came and sprayed the church parking lot this past Friday. We always have those weeds that want to take over our church, and so he sprayed them, so hopefully they'll be dying in the next couple weeks and going back down. But we do appreciate what he did there. All right. I think that's all I can think about right now. So does anybody have a testimony tonight? Anything you'd like to share with us by way of praise or prayer request or anything else, Pastor Gossman?
Well, first of all, I did tell my wife today that we have an anniversary on Thursday, so I remembered it today. And if I forget it, you know, before Thursday, then at least I'm covered. You know, so. It was a blessing for us today to go over. Actually, it was the baptism took place at Auglaize, a Bible church. In fact, it was just this week, one of the men from there who had given us hospitality when we were working with the church plant that called and told me that this lady, Marion, was going to be baptized today there. But it's just a testimony of the Lord's people working together with the small group that we had in that little church that we were working with. One of the ladies that worked with another in a place had been witnessing to her and invited this lady to come to our services, and she was she came there for a few weeks and then as she went out to dinner with one of the family afterwards. They were able then to go through the gospel with her, and the woman accepted Christ. And it was a blessing today that she was there, and a daughter that was there, and some other folks of her family were there, and heard the gospel as Pastor Bazaar there at Ogway's preached, and then they had the baptism there. And it was interesting. Pastor Bazaar told me that the lady, when actually her baptism had got put off for a period of time because of the virus and everything that was going on. But as they announced it, he said, then there were some others in their congregation that came to him and said that, you know, I was baptized many years ago, but at that time I really didn't have any idea what it was about. It was just something you did, and they felt like they really ought to have a believer's baptism, and there were actually five this morning after the morning service that were followed the Lord in baptism. And it was just a, you know, we were there for a short time in that ministry, and you don't know what the Lord's going to do, but if one person comes to Christ, you know, and it's just, and it wasn't necessarily me, it was those that were witnessing to somebody at work. It was then being under the preaching of the word, and then somebody taking them aside and leading them to the Lord. You know, the Lord says that one plants, one waters, but it's the Lord that gives the increase. And what a blessing that was.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Anybody else tonight? Other testimonies? Just crickets. All I'm hearing is crickets. It was a blessing to have family here this morning visiting. That was Stacy, last name?
Sharp.
Stacy Sharp and her children, Jeffrey and Desi. And so they were here for Sunday school, and they stayed for the worship service too. And evidently, maybe friends of Donna Ray, and her husband went to school with Lee, I think is what she said. But they live over near Chesterville on 190. And so it was a blessing to have them here. And then after church, there was a fellow that came wandering in here. He was pretty forlorn, but he seemed to be looking for some spiritual guidance and help. And so I had a chance to go through the gospel with him using one of the bridge tracks, and so he seemed to be having a lot of needs in his life, and you know, trying to get body and soul together. But as a young man, and he said that he lives on 204. I'm not sure I got his address right, but did have that chance to minister to him. His name's Brandon. It's not the Brandon that lives right over here across the street, but another one. So that's a prayer request, a praise, just for that opportunity there at the end of the service. All right, anyone else tonight? Yes, Charlene.
Thank you everyone for their prayers and their concern for Jim. He is feeling better, and he's getting his strength back. He can work longer hours now, and he's not taking quite as many naps as he was. So he is feeling better, so I appreciate your prayers and concerns. Very appreciated.
Amen. Thankful to hear Jim Eckerd is feeling better, getting his strength back, so we praise the Lord for that. All right, anyone else tonight? Yes, Mr. Margrave.
Some people, and I think this is a great thing, but I found myself working on the production line at CYT, and it's really given me an opportunity to talk to a lot more people.
All right, anyone else? Any other testimonies? Yes, Mr. Renard.
Whenever we sing that song about anything to do with the Navy, especially the anchor, I am reminded of fond memories of my first time on the ship and the division that I was in. Our job, one of our jobs, was to take care of the anchor. So whenever the anchor went, so whenever the anchor was dropped, somebody had to be down there to machinery break. And so since I was a low man at that time, they said, guess what, you get to do this. I said, oh boy, and then they gave me a big smile. So I didn't know what was going on. So I got down there where it's at, below decks, and and they dropped the anchor, and I kid you, I was looking for a window. I was looking for a crack to get out of there because it was so loud. Because these links, they're so huge, you can't carry them. You basically have to have a crane or something to pick them up and move them wherever you want. And this thing was just going crazy with that anchor dropping. We dropped in at Hong Kong Harbor, and I mean to tell you, it just sounded like, how do I get out of here? Where do I go? And I couldn't find nothing, only a hatch. But you had to climb the ladder to get to the hatch. But every time we sing that song, I think about those fond days and the fond memory I have. Being able to be there for my country and knowing that the Lord is protecting me, even though the noise was deafening. Just thanking for his blessedness during those times.
Thank you. All right, anyone else tonight? Other testimonies, praises, prayer requests? Just hearing the crickets again, so we'll have another song then.
For our next song before the service, we'll sing Near the Cross, number 351, and we'll stand. Number 351, Near the Cross.
Close from hell, reach out to.
Again, we're reminding people to register to vote. That's one of our things we can do as a church. We're not going to be endorsing any political candidates, but if you know anybody that's not registered to vote, just encourage them to do that. We have some forms that are available that you can use and do that. You can also register online, but just encourage you about that. Of course, we don't believe that that's ultimately what's going to change our nation. It's ultimately going to be through God's working, not through any man that's elected, but elections do have consequences, and this next one will have great consequence, it seems, and so just encourage you about that. A number of weeks ago, I mentioned something that was happening there in California concerning the church there, Pastor John MacArthur. Of course, he's another radio preacher, but probably one of the better ones. And, you know, the church there had been not allowed to meet, and the church had decided that they were going to go ahead and meet anyway. And so there's been all kinds of legal battles in the past several weeks there in Los Angeles between the church and Los Angeles County, I think, the health department. And just an article I'll share, somewhat recent, although even this I think is about a week old, but it says, Grace Community Church and Pastor John MacArthur brought a powerful court challenge against Governor Gavin Newsom's ban on in-person church meetings. Grace Community Church has refused to comply with the ban, its congregation exercising their First Amendment rights of religious freedom and free association. Los Angeles County filed a motion asking a judge to fine Grace Community Church in contempt of court, but the judge flatly denied the motion. Judge Mitchell Beckloff correctly found there is no court order prohibiting Grace Community Church from holding indoor services. Jenna Ellis, one of MacArthur's lawyers who also served as President Donald Trump's personal lawyer during the impeachment trial, said in a statement on Thursday, this was not this past Thursday, but I think about a week ago, LA County continues to harass and target Pastor MacArthur, having failed to get a court order to shut down the church. They have sought three times. They're going to try again by hauling us back into court. Ironically, LA County said in its application for contempt that Grace Church cannot thumb its nose at the court when decisions don't go its way. Yet that's precisely what LA County is now doing themselves, Ellis explained. We will simply continue to defend our clients' constitutionally protected rights because church is essential. On August 14th, the county applied for a temporary restraining order to stop the church from meeting in person, but Judge James Chalfant issued an order allowing the church to worship in person. On August 15th, an appeals court stayed that order, allowing the county to enforce the coronavirus lockdown restrictions until September 4th. However, the appeals court did not issue a temporary restraining order against the church, so there was no live order when the county petitioned to have MacArthur held in contempt of court for ostensibly violating an order. MacArthur's lawsuit is challenging the health department's coronavirus restrictions banning the church from meeting in person. While the appeals court allowed the health department to enforce those restrictions, it did not issue a restraining order against the church. The city of Los Angeles has previously threatened Grace Community Church and MacArthur with a daily fine of $1,000 or arrest. Rather than carrying out this previous threat, Los Angeles tried to get MacArthur held in contempt of court for supposedly violating a court order that does not exist. The effort fell flat on its face. So anyway, there's a battle that's going on back and forth. You know, because the church is trying to have services and meet in person. And I had read their rationale for that a couple weeks ago, which basically said, you know, this is going to go on forever. They're already canceling things into 2021, and, you know, they're not letting up at all on that. And so, you know, that's just one church, a very large church, and, you know, they probably have the resources to go into that type of battle, whereas a lot of the smaller churches wouldn't have any hope. You know, their church has a lot of contacts, I think. You know, they were able to get some high-profile lawyers, and so we hope for the best for them. But that's what's going on still, Last I heard, I think there was a good thing that happened for them. One of the courts upheld their right to meet constitutionally, but I'm sure that it'll be challenged again and probably continue to go back and forth. So just an update on that situation, as I'd mentioned it before. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. We continue on in our series here in Joshua. We're looking at the conquest of the land of Israel. Joshua was the man chosen by God to lead God's people actually into the promised land, but they had to fight for it, and they had to obey God all through it. And last time, in Joshua 7, we saw the bad situation they got into. You remember, they suffered a defeat, a surprising defeat. They're at Ai. They thought they could take this little city, and they went in, and sure enough, they were defeated. 36 men had been killed, and then God revealed the problem. There was sin in the camp, and Achan had disobeyed the Lord. It had affected the entire camp. And then last week, we saw the steps that were taken to correct that situation, they could go forward. And so after that was all over, we see the next step of the conquest here, and that is the Battle of Ai, the second time around. There was the first time where they were defeated, but now in chapter 8 we see this actual victorious battle, and we see how that takes place. We see in verses 1 through 13 the preparation for this battle, and then in verses 14 through 29 the sequence of the battle, and then at the end of the chapter see some activities that took place after the battle in verses 30 through 35. Let's begin here in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, Behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, They flee before us as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. And it shall be when ye have taken the city that ye shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. We see the preparation that takes place for this battle, and that begins with an encouragement from the Lord in verses 1 and 2. You can imagine how discouraging it must have been to go through what Joshua went through there in chapter 7, finding out about the corruption that was taking place there in the nation of Israel, just one man, one family, actually, it seems. His children, perhaps also involved, don't know how old they were, but Joshua had gone through that and discovered this that he didn't know, and God had to show him how to deal with this, and I'm sure it would have been very discouraging. Probably would have felt weak going forward. How do we get up from this? But God comes and he encourages him, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and rise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. God did not abandon them because they had to deal with sin. They dealt with that sin, and God came and said, Okay, get up, get moving, let's go. God gave them a battle plan here. And you notice that the part of that battle plan was that they were going to take the spoil. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. That was different from Jericho, where God gave the specific orders, don't take anything. You burn everything. Take the precious metals into the treasury of the Lord. Because we saw that was kind of a first fruits of the land. That was the first battle. And God said, you devote everything to me. Give that all over to the Lord. But now with the second battle, God says, you take the spoil. You go ahead and take the cattle. You take the things that you see there. That's fine. If only Achan would have obeyed the Lord, he would have been able to go to that next city and take what he wanted. But because he disobeyed the Lord, he was punished for it. His life was taken. But if only he had waited for God's time, if only he had, would have been patient, if only he would have trusted that the Lord knew what was best, he would have seen that God would have allowed him to take of the spoil of that next city. The way to the blessing of the Lord is by obeying the Lord and waiting on Him. And we may not understand. To us, that seems like we're missing out on something. But we find that when we obey the Lord, like the Israelites did, like most of the Israelites did, most all of them, see that they were rewarded at that next city there, the city of Ai. Then we see God gave Joshua the method to use for the battle. He says, lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. You know, Joshua may or may not have thought about that, how to make that plan to take that city. But God gave him that plan to lay an ambush. We'll see how that worked out here in these instructions as they prepare, verses 3 through 8. The instructions are given from Joshua. God had given Joshua instructions, then he relays them to the people. And we're told how that took place. Joshua sent 30,000 men to get ready and actually to go behind the city of Ai. They went, and he sent them out by night, and they hid behind the city of Ai. And that was going to be the ambush group. And then we're told that Joshua and the others were going to approach the city from the front. And then when they got close, they were going to run away and draw the army of Ai out to them. Meanwhile, that ambush that was stationed the night before behind the city would come in and burn the city up. You know, that's different than the strategy that God used in Jericho. That was a different strategy. Remember, God said, go out and march around the city, take the Ark of the Covenant, and march around every day for 6 days, then on the seventh day, march around seven times, then get those ram's horns out, and blow those, and shout, and God took care of the rest. God caused the walls to fall in. That was a much different strategy. That was a miraculous strategy. This strategy at Ai is different than that. This is something that we would expect from an army, to have a strategy, to send out an ambush, and to try to figure things out. But God is not limited to only one strategy. He uses a variety of plans. You know, God did that earlier on in the history of Israel at the Red Sea. He led the people to the Red Sea. Remember, he parted the waters miraculously, caused the people to go through, and then the Egyptians were coming right on their tails, and the water closed over the Egyptians, and God defeated the Egyptian army. And then a little while later, God said, all right, get your army together and go out and fight the Amalekites. There in Exodus chapter 17, they went to battle against the Amalekites. And they actually had to go out and fight. And yet God wanted them to do that as well. It's a different strategy. God sends a miracle sometimes, other times, He said, all right, you go out and you go to war. And I think that's true even in the church age. We can look back in the book of Acts at the beginning, the foundation of the church. And God did many miraculous things through the apostles. He healed people through the apostle Paul, casting out demons and healing people even. And the speaking in tongues and the miraculous gifts that God sent And that was part of God's strategy for the church. And then went on from there. And those miraculous things were not happening as much. And through much of the church age, God is working in different ways. But God has different strategies. God doesn't limit himself to only one way of doing things. At the Battle of Jericho, he did one thing, and then he said, now at Ai, I want you to go out and do it this way. And then we see they followed those instructions, verses 9 through 13. They set up for the battle, and the ambush goes on the west side of the city. The others are on the side to be the decoy. There may be another ambush group as you read the numbers there. There's some, it's hard to quite figure out how many groups they had, but they were setting up there. And then the battle takes place, verses 14 through 29. Notice verse 14. They came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed before the plain, but he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them, and they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel, and they left the city open and pursued after Israel. The Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out thy spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. The ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw and behold the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. They had no power to flee this way or that way, and the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. When Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. So the plan worked. The king of Ai and his men, when they saw Israel, they probably thought, oh, them again. Let's go take care of them the second time. And they went out, leaving their city unoccupied. And Joshua lifts his spear and the ambush starts. And the city is set on fire. Ai sees that their city is burning, they're trapped. Joshua turns back and kills the men of Ai. And then as we read on, we see the king of Ai is brought to Joshua there in verse 23. And Israel goes back into Ai, takes care of the rest of the people. We're told 12,000 fall at Ai. You know, as we look at that battle, it seems like, you know, a typical battle, you kind of picture it in your mind, you know, the movie version, all of the fighting that's taking place. But really, the power of God can be seen in that battle. God was at work in the sequence here. The king of Ai and his men, absolutely blind to their own danger. You know, they somehow made that decision to run after the Israelites as they were running away and leave their city completely undefended. I mean, for a king to make a decision like that, for an army to make a decision like that, that had to be an act of God. For them to be totally unaware, to be blind to the threat that was really behind them, to not know that at all, we see that God was certainly in that. That wasn't Joshua's power or strategy. It was God's sovereignty over that battle. Then we're told the victory that took place, verses 27 to 29. The spoils that they took, they burned the city of Ai, they hung the king of Ai. It was a great victory that was won for Israel. And it was a second chance for Israel. They had tried this already one time. They'd been defeated. Then God showed them what the problem was. They got it corrected, and he gave them a second chance at it. And he gave them the victory. It's a reminder to us that defeat, one defeat or failure, does not mean the end of the war for a believer. We may be defeated at times. We may suffer loss. But that doesn't mean the end of the battle. There was a second chance that God gives. Then we come to verses 30 to 35, and we see some of the activities that happened after the battle. I want you to notice these activities. Verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrifice peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and their officers and their judges stood on this side, the ark, and on the side before the priests and the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them. So we see after this battle, there were some ceremonies that took place. There was an altar that was built upon Mount Ebal. There were blessings and curses read upon Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. This was as Moses had commanded in Deuteronomy that they were to go and do that. When they went into the land, they were to divide up, make an amphitheater, and repeat those curses, speak out those blessings to one another. And so they did that. And then we see the law was read to all the congregation after the battle took place. You know, Israel, at this time in their history, they were in the midst of an active and a very busy time. They had finally come into the land. They had only been through two battles so far, the Battle of Jericho and the Battle of Ai. There were still a lot more cities to take in the land. There was still much work to do. The whole land was in front of them to take. But we see here, after this battle, how they stopped to take time to worship God. You know, I think in these activities, they could have easily thought, well, we're so busy right now, we've got all these battles to fight, we've got to go take this land, God has given it to us, we got to take it. You know, they could have said, we'll do that later. But here, after this battle, they stopped and they worshiped. They built an altar. They read God's word as a congregation. They got all together, everybody, men, women, and children, strangers. They worshiped together. They sought God first. And then they went on and took care of their business. You know, Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You know, it's just a reminder for us about the priority of worship in our lives. You know, every single one of us has got a lot to do. Got things that we need to accomplish and take care of. And that's probably always going to be that way. But God wants us to take time to worship Him, to put Him first. And we see His people did that. They didn't always do that. But here's an example where they did the right thing, the priority of worship. And you see the simplicity of their worship even. They followed the instruction to build their altar according to Exodus 20:25, where God had said that they should not build their altars of hewn stone. He didn't want them to lift up a tool upon it. That would pollute it, he said in Exodus chapter 20. And it seems to be a reminder to God's people that the worship of God does not need to be overly complicated. It was a simple altar that they made. even though they probably could have made a much more fancy one. It was a simple altar that God wanted to have the sacrifices offered to him. And we see the focus of their worship here. Of course, they stopped. They were not serving themselves in this. The focus of all worship and their worship here is the Lord. Their focus was on the Lord. Here they're stopping in these ceremonies and they're acknowledging God as the source of every victory and blessing. Remember, Abraham did the same thing everywhere he went, pretty much, in the land of Israel. He built an altar. He acknowledged that God had blessed him. And he was thanking God and worshiping him wherever he went. And they offered these burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings on that altar. They gave themselves to the Lord. They celebrated their relationship with him. These peace offerings emphasizing that, the relationship that God had with them. And they were taking that time to remember that. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we have this time here on Sunday night. It can be inconvenient for you, I'm sure, to come back to church again and to worship. But, you know, it's one of the ways that we show our love for the Lord, that we want him to have first place in our lives. We seek him first in the week, on the first day of the week, and worship him. And then let God take care of the rest. Let him provide where we may be worried about how things will be covered. May the Lord help us to have that attitude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to come here tonight, worship you. Thank you for this example of your people taking time to worship, even though they had much to do, battles to fight, land to take. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to seek you first in your kingdom. And we pray that you would take care of the rest in our lives. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for giving us victory through Jesus Christ. We thank you for giving us a second chance, even when we've been through times of defeat and discouragement. Thank you, Lord, that you come and you encourage us to go forward. Help us do that tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our song sheet now and we'll turn to the last song. Number 376, Take Time to Be Holy. Number 376, let's stand as we sing together.